back it up.
Like, can you hear me now? They asked me since Friday night. I've had several people ask me, well, Pastor, how are you feeling? And I thought, you know, I'm only 36 and I don't feel a day over 75, so I'm doing all right. Let me ask you to take your Bibles this morning, be finding Ruth, the book of Ruth. And we're in the fourth chapter in this book as we continue on in this study. And be looking for the seventh verse. And when you're there, if you can, rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word from Ruth, the seventh chapter. Or Ruth, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 7. I might be like Tony and need a script up here this morning. But anyway. Now, verse 7. This was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's, and all and Mahlon's, of the hands of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elder said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let that house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, Father, how great it is to be in your house this morning and to call these precious promises from your word to our hearts and to our minds. Oh, Lord, you've given us two ears that we might hear. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would take this word of yours and that, Father, you would sow it deep, deep within our hearts. Lord, help us to remember that this world isn't our home, that there's a better home awaiting up in heaven one day. And just like the men sang here this morning, one sweet day, Lord, we're just going to fly away. And oh, what a day that's going to be. Lord, touch our hearts this morning. Renew the fires of our love and renew the fire of our faith within each and every one of us. Change us, oh Lord. Change our hearts. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said amen. Family and friends, Ruth has come a long way from the land of Moab into the land of Israel and now the home of Boaz. And the Bible says about Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We, who are at one time strangers, far from God, without hope in this world, who have repented of our sin, who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, have now been made near unto God through the blood of Christ. We today are the family of God. We are in His heart, and one of these days soon, we're going to be in His home. What a wonderful, glorious prospect is presented to us here in this passage. that we can hang on to and that we can hold on to, that one day soon, friend, we're going to be home in heaven. Amen. Oh, I want you to think about heaven this morning. What thoughts come to your mind when you begin to think about heaven? What a glorious, glorious day it's going to be in heaven this morning. Oh, what a day it'll be. Can you just imagine, friend, when you look upon your groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think very often that we in the church think about ourselves as a bride. And yet that is exactly what we are. At long last, our prayers are going to be answered and we're going to be home with Jesus. And why be a Christian if you don't want to be with Jesus? For those who know Jesus Christ this morning, the thoughts are indescribable. They're desirous and they carry great joy. Oh, the joy of heaven. Can you just picture it this morning? But think about this. What about those people today? You may be here, you may be one of them, and I pray not. But think about those people today who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And they're not part of the community of the redeemed, and they need to know that Jesus died on the cross for them. They need to know He went through hell for them. And they need to know that He is standing and He is knocking at the door of your heart. Are you hearing Him? The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Friend, He's not going to crash that door. He's not going to barge that door down. No. You have to invite Him in. He's offering to you eternal life. But you have to accept it by repentance and by faith. And if you do, you too are going to one day be in the presence at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, what a day it's going to be, because that's what awaits us. One day the shout's going to come, the trump's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we who are alive are going to meet our Savior in the air. Oh, friend, that's the rapture. That's what heaven's all about, and we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are the bride of Christ. And man, that's probably a foreign concept for us. But it's a reality. We, the church, the bought, the saved, and the redeemed, are the bride of Christ. And right now, in this present day and in this present hour, we are awaiting our groom to come. And one day He's coming. And the bride always rejoices when the groom arrives. Oh, what a day it's going to be when we see Jesus. Can you picture it? What's it mean to you this morning? That's where our text relates to us today. The joy of Christ's triumphal entry. We as the bride of Christ are looking forward to that glorious day when we meet Jesus Christ in the air. And this text here in Ruth chapter 4 points to, it's going to be a joyous occasion when the wedding day arrives. And a day that's made all the more glorious when the church, God's covenant community, can sincerely rejoice with the bride and the groom. We are the bride. Can you just picture that day of rejoicing when you're with Jesus? Friend, I can't even... try as I might, I can't put it into words for you this morning. You're going to have to use your own imagination. You're going to have to picture. I wish I could do better. I really do. I thought about this all week. Oh, I wish I could preach it better. I wish I could describe that day for you. But it's indescribable. But it's going to be glorious. In Scripture, why the book of Ruth? Because Ruth represents the church of Jesus Christ. See, she was born in the enemy's land, and she was born of the enemy's people, and that's us. You see, we were once born in Adam. We were born on the wrong side of the tracks. The Bible says, in sin did our mothers conceive us. We were born with a desperate need, the need for grace and the need for someone to show us that grace, the need for the mercy of Almighty God. And Ruth was blessed, and she was loved by Boaz, who in Scripture is a type of Christ for us. Listen, Boaz willingly gave himself to Ruth, and he gave her a place among the Lord's land and the Lord's people. Rejoicing is the theme of this chapter. Rejoicing is the joy of marriage. And the Bible tells us that a man should rejoice in the wife of his youth, and a wife should rejoice in her husband, and the church should rejoice with him. You see it here in verses 11 and 12. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come unto thee, thine house, like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrata, and be famous in Bethlehem, and let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." God's covenant community were rejoicing in what Boaz was doing in regards to Ruth as her kinsman redeemer. The covenant community was rejoicing because the will of God was being done. And oh, I say unto you, the covenant community of Green Valley, we ought to be rejoicing today because the will of the Lord is being done in this place. We all know that weddings are to be joyous occasions, and yet the sad fact is that not all weddings are. Unfortunately, in this world in which we live, sometimes the two presenting themselves for marriage, they just don't care if they have the Lord's blessing or not. How sad it is today, friend, that man believes that marriage, they don't need God in it. Because everywhere we look in the Bible, we find we need God in marriage today. We need the truth of the Word of God in marriage today. Marriage is a public affair that needs the blessing of God and His people. The last place that one ever wants to make a mistake is at the marriage altar. And every couple should desire the blessing of Almighty God and the people of God on their union. There is much that is said here in our text today. But if we can, let me try and define marriage. And I know I'm going to be out there on myself. All the men would say amen. But since in our time we are looking for our groom, Jesus Christ, to come and catch away His bride, let's look at it from that perspective. Friend, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a marriage supper awaiting you. And the Bible says that every man that has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. And so let us look ahead to what the Bible has to say about marriage. See, I believe what a man and a woman go through in making a marriage work is an apt description of what it means to walk by faith in this world with Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian man or a Christian woman who has repented of your sin and placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the bride of Christ. And I doubt we think of ourselves that way very often. Matter of fact, let me ask you to be honest this morning. When is the last time you spent time just thinking about this? I am the bride of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you, what kind of a bride do you want to be? It's what the Bible teaches we are. And so when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we repent of our sin, we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior, we enter into a marriage covenant with Him. And anybody who's been married knows this, it's work. It can be rough at times. It's okay to say amen if I say it right. It can be tough at times. Marriage is a full-time job. Now you've heard me say this from the pulpit many a time. I'm a full-time job, just ask Michelle. I've got to agree with her. Amen. Anybody who says marriage isn't a full-time job has never been married. And I want to tell you, marriage has far bigger problems than squeezing toothpaste from the middle of the tube. Marriage means grappling, and it means aching, and it means struggling. It means putting up with personality weaknesses, accepting criticism, and giving each other the freedom to fail. It means sharing deep feelings about fear and rejection. It means turning self-pity into laughter and sometimes just taking a walk to gain control. Marriage means gentleness and joy. It means toughness and fortitude. It means fairness and forgiveness and a walloping amount of sacrifice. Friend, how willing are you to bleed in your marriage? Marriage means learning to say nothing. When to keep talking, when to push a little, and when to back off. It means acknowledging, listen, I can't be God to you because I need God too. Marriage means you're the other part of me and I'm the other part of you. We'll work through it with never a thought of walking out of it. Marriage means two imperfect people building permanently, giving totally in partnership with a perfect God. Marriage, my dear bride, my love, means us. And that's what every husband and wife should say, because that's what marriage is, and that's the message of the cross. A perfect God loves us. And a perfect God sacrificed for us. And our groom has an unconditional love. He keeps no record of our mistakes. When we ask for forgiveness, He forgives us and He doesn't bring it up again to us. He's forgotten it. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins from us. And oh, if you're married here this morning, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do the same? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be Christ to one another? Knowing that Christ is our all in all to us. You see, this is what it means to walk by faith with Jesus Christ. There's only one difference. God never fails, but we oftentimes do. Amen. It's not that we set out to fail. It's not that we set out to cause God or in this case, we're talking about marriage, to cause our spouse to mistrust us, to lack faith in us. That's not our intent. But friend, we just err in this life. I doubt that many of those errors are intentional, because we know what sin is. It's not only the things that we should not do, but it's also the things we know we should do and do not do. Aren't you glad that you have a Savior up in heaven, a groom who loves you just as you are and loves you enough to work with you day by day, perfecting us that we might have His and share in His holiness? You see, we have one whom we can submit to because He's perfect and He loves us perfectly. When we come to understand God's great love for us, I don't think there's any of us who will hold out completely from submitting ourselves to Him. And therefore, we must ask what love is. Because in this world today, I'm going to tell you, I don't think many people know what love is. A lot of people think it's just something that you say when you want to get something from somebody. That's the way love's looked at. What I can get from you, not what I can give to you. The world today understands very little of love. Love is characterized by the things I say. Hey, we can say anything. That's easy. But love is an action word. It's characterized by the things we do. And it's the things we do that give our words meaning. And therefore, we must ask, what is love? And I believe if we broke it down into an acronym, we'd say the word love means L is listening when another's speaking. Now, there is a certain kind of listening that we need to employ. That's called transformational listening, not transitional listening. I believe many marriages would do well to have a tall glass of water, maybe a quart bottle or a gallon, and just set it down between you. That way, men, when your wife is speaking and you think you have to say something, start drinking. Hard to talk when your mouth is full of water. And wives, you do the same. Isn't it true that oftentimes we try to communicate, but all we're thinking about is what we're going to say? We get defensive. We get argumentative. We're not listening to what the other is saying. I think a good glass of water is a good thing to help us hear so that we don't talk. Because when we hear what they're really saying, lives can be transformed. I think it's important that we remember the O, that we overlook the petty faults, and we forgive all failures. How many of you know this? The Bible says in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, dear spouse, are you lying? You know what God's Word has said. How can any of us hold grudges against another? How successful are we going to be if we fail to forgive, knowing that we ourselves need to be forgiven on a daily basis? If there's anybody here who's perfect this morning, this message is not for you. But I don't think I'm talking to perfect people. I think I'm talking to people just like me, imperfect people who need a Savior. I think V is a very important thing because V is valuing one another. Value the other person for who they are. Don't talk down to them. Don't call them names. Don't speak in absolutes. Don't say you're always like this, you're always going to be that way, because you know that's not true. None of us are always going to be the way we are. Friends, the Bible says that the power of life and death is right here in the tongue. Let me ask you a question. Are you speaking life into your marriage or are you speaking death? I'm so thankful to know that when Jesus Christ talks to His bride, He speaks life and He values us. How much does He value us? He went to the cross for us. He bleeds daily for us. I'm so glad I have someone like that who loves me. And I'm so glad that my wife is a picture of Jesus Christ unto me on a daily basis. And then there's E. Expressing love in a practical way. And I think if we spend more time figuring out how we're going to express our love to our mate in a practical way, how much better our marriages would be. You see, we have someone who's expressed His love daily in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you stop and think about it, that's what prayer is too. When we pray, God always listens to us. He never steps in or butts in to cut us off. He hears us all the way through. Because God is full of mercy for us, He loves us unconditionally. He stands ready to overlook our petty faults and forgive all of our failures if we'll just ask. Oh, don't let pride get in the way. Don't elevate yourself above one another. Just look to the Savior. The one who created us values us for who we are today, but what will become tomorrow by His grace. And husbands and wives, I pray that when you look at one another, you value one another for what you are today. And what your marriage will be tomorrow by His grace. God has expressed His love in a practical way through the cross of Jesus Christ. That cross is not only a symbol of the way of salvation. That cross means by is the means by which we enter into a loving marriage relationship with Jesus Christ. So when I dwell upon all these things that the Bible teaches about marriage in His Word, I say to you, I can't help but think every marriage needs the Lord Jesus Christ right in the center of it. In our text, it was the people who prayed for Boaz and Ruth. And notice how they prayed. They prayed that they would have a fruitful union. It is important for the nation that the Jewish wives bear children. It was through children that the nation would be perpetuated. Through Israel, the promised Messiah would one day come. And the Bible continually reminds us that God fulfilled His promises. The Bible teaches us that it was Jacob's two wives, look at who they refer to, Leah and Rachel, who built this nation. Eight sons were born, who brought forth of their loins, and they founded the leading tribes of Israel, and the other four sons came from their handmaids. 12 sons in all came from, built the tribe of Israel, and from them the promised Messiah would come. And thus, notice how the people prayed, that Ruth would do worthy in Ephrathah. This word is significant for us, for Ephrathah in Hebrew means to be fruitful. Notice the desire of the people for Ruth, that she would be fruitful and famous and bring honor to their little town. And how many more marriages in our world today and in ourselves as we prepare to meet our groom need the prayers of God's people undergirding their lives and their marriages. Friends, we need to pray for one another. Amen? I believe in the power of prayer because I believe, and I've seen it in my own life, the God-given fortitude that comes because someone was praying for my marriage to be fruitful. Fruitful in living according to the meaning of marriage that I've already given in this message. Young couples need the blessing of God. All couples need the blessing of God. And all couples need the blessing of God's people. Do you pray for one another? What could possibly bring a greater blessing, family and friends, than heartfelt prayer? The people prayed for Ruth, and God heard their prayers because Bethlehem Ephrathah would be the birthplace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. They prayed for the house of Boaz to be like that of Perez. His family had settled in Bethlehem, and Boaz was a descendant of Perez. Their prayers for a fruitful union were heard, and God answered them abundantly more than they could ever ask or think. But there's something else we must note. And that is the changes in Ruth. Because she trusted Boaz and allowed him to work on her behalf, she went from loneliness to love, from toil to rest, from poverty to wealth, from worry to assurance, and from despair to hope. She is no longer Ruth the Moabitess because the past is gone. When she met Boaz, she made a new beginning. And when you meet Jesus Christ, your past is gone. It's forgotten. You become a new creation in Jesus Christ. How good it is to know the past is gone and I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. Oh, friend. She's received the blessing of God and the blessing of God's people on her marriage. She has a new name, a name that is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. She has a name she's proud to bear. Can I ask you, are you proud to bear the name of Christ this morning? If you know Christ as your Savior, it's the name you bear. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, since Ruth in the Holy Scriptures represents the church, we must consider also ourselves. When a man or a woman comes to Christ seeking His forgiveness by repenting of their sin and they place their faith and trust in Him, what was true for Ruth becomes true for you You go from loneliness to love. Jesus is with us ever. Jesus is with us always. He never leaves us, nor does He ever forsake us. We go from toil to rest. We go from poverty to wealth. In Him we have all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are rich beyond what we can see. We go from worry to assurance. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Friend, if you're up nights worrying and worried about this and worried about that, stop doing it. Just tell God all about it. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Do you know that there's a Savior in heaven today who loves you, who cares for you, and He works 24 hours a day so you don't have to? We go from despair to hope. Once I was lost. I was lost and I was sinking deep in sin. But then Jesus reached down, and in love He lifted me. Oh, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that lifts us, the love of Christ that makes us free. We have all the hope there is in Jesus. Are you thinking about heaven? You see, friends, no matter what's going on in your life right now, there's a home up in glory. And there's a Savior who's coming for you one day soon. And we need the blessing of God. We need the blessing of the church. We need the blessing of each other. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful. We're a bride who ought to be looking daily for the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are a bride who ought to be expectant that any day now, we're going to hear the trumpet sound and we're going to hear the shout. Any day now, our groom is coming. Any day now, Jesus Christ is coming for us. And oh, what a day that is going to be when we look upon Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And our own marriages should be bringing forth much rejoicing, and the church should be rejoicing greatly. Her groom, the King, is coming. One day soon, we're going to look up and we're going to see Jesus, and we're going to shout the victory. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming. I'm looking forward to my Savior. I'm looking forward to my husband. I am the bride of Christ, but so are you. And the Bible says that every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Can I encourage you this morning? I think if we're like most people in this world, far too often we have our eyes not on heaven above. We're just looking at earth down here below. I think far too often our eyes are on us and not on heaven at all. And if I've said anything here this morning, it is this. You look to heaven above. Your groom is coming. And he's coming soon. Brother Marty, would you come and lead us in song this morning, friends? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this glorious day. And oh Lord, what a day it has been. And Lord, we just think about marriage today. We think about heaven today. We think about Jesus. And oh, how he loves us. Lord, He loves us just as we are, and He works in us, and He works for us, and He works through us. He works to make us more like Him, to conform us into His image. And oh Lord, just help us to be a willing piece of clay. Willing to submit ourselves, willing to work with Him, willing to love Him as He loves us. And Lord, we know that if we'll do that, we'll be able to love one another as He loves us. Oh Lord, love is the theme of this chapter. Love is the theme of this message. And oh, how great to know the love of Christ. And may we know that Christ loves us. In His name we pray. Amen. My friend.